We've heard this year a number of messages, a few messages this calendar year about priorities. I've preached about priorities. Dr. Gibson preached about priorities. And we live by our priorities. I'm not going to take anything back that I've said about priorities. I believe that we live by our priorities. But there's another word that comes into play. I've struggled with this message. I actually, moments before I came upstairs, I almost just crumpled it up and threw it away. Because I believe this message tonight, I don't know if it's for anybody else, but I do know that I'm preaching to myself tonight. I know that for a fact. It's about motives. Motives. You see, motives are the hidden drive behind our actions. The hidden drive behind our actions. Motivated by something within to do or accomplish a goal, be it an open motive or a hidden motive. A conscious motive. Perhaps even an unconscious motive. Motives drive us to do things. I'm not sure if I told you the story of Artful Eddie, or if I've just read it so many times that it makes it seem like I've given it to you or not. Have I given you the story of Artful Eddie? Artful Eddie out of Chicago. He was one of the slickest of the slick lawyers. He was one of the roars of the Roaring Twenties. He was a friend of Al Capone. He ran the gangsters' dog tracks. He mastered the simple technique of fixing the race by overfeeding 7 dogs and betting on the 8th. Wealth and status and style, Artful Eddie lacked for nothing. He lacked nothing. But he turned himself in. Why would he turn himself in? Why did he offer to squeal on Capone? What was his motive? Didn't Eddie know the surefire consequences of ratting on the mob? He knew, but he'd made up his mind. What did he have to gain? What could society give him that he didn't have? He had power, he had money, he had prestige. What was the hitch? Eddie revealed the hitch. His son. Eddie had spent his life with the despicable. He had smelled the stench of the underground long enough. For his son, he wanted more. He wanted to give his son a name, and in order to give his son a name, he would have to clear his own name. Eddie was willing to take a risk so that his son could have a clean slate. Artful Eddie never saw his dream come true, because after Eddie squealed, the mob remembered. 2 gunshot blasts silenced him forever. Was it worth it? For his son it was. Artful Eddie's boy lived up to the sacrifice. His is one of the best known names in the world. Artful Eddie, the Chicago mobster who squealed on Al Capone so that his son could have a fair chance. Had Eddie lived to see his son Butch grow up, he would have been proud. He would have been proud of Butch's appointment to Annapolis. He would have been proud of the commissioning as a World War II Navy pilot. He would have been proud as he read of his son downing 5 bombers in the Pacific night and saving the lives of hundreds of crewmen on the carrier Lexington. The name was cleared. The Congressional Medal of Honor, which Butch received, was proof. When people say the name O'Hare in Chicago, they don't think gangsters. They think aviation heroism. When you say his name, you don't think about gangsters, but now you have something else to think about besides aviation heroism. Butch was the son of Slick Eddie O'Hare. He had a motive. He had a driving motive. We have motives too. His motive drove him to do the unthinkable simply because he loved his son. He loved his son. That he was willing by his motive to do the only thing possible to see his name cleared for his son to have a chance in life. What about our motives? When we do something for others, you know, good deeds. We do good things, good deeds to our friends, or somewhere along the line, we may even heap coals of fire on those who are not so friendly. Why do we do it? Why is it that we do things? Do you or I do something for somebody for something in return? Before you say no to that question, let's consider it a little bit further. Some sort of praise. At least a thank you. Do you do something so that you can be thanked? We would probably tend to say no. But then if somebody doesn't praise us or thank us, what is our reaction? What do we do following that lack of recognition? Maybe our motive for something is something larger than that. We want something bigger than that. We want a place in a person's cabinet or administration. We've heard about that probably. You know, they do things in order to have a position granted to them. Perhaps somebody has a business and we would like to work at that business. So we do things or something to gain that person's attention in order to get a job. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 gives us many different facets. If you want to turn to that passage of scripture, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified because it gives us an amplified understanding of what it's saying. But it gives us many different facets to a person's motive or potential for people's motive. Paul said, do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. You see the different facets there of motive? There's the side of it that is contentious, something to do with strife, something to do with breaking apart, something to do with hurting someone. You know, maybe not the perpetrator, but the instigator. I know what that's like as a teenager. I knew better than to be the perpetrator of some pranks and some mischief. But I developed a pretty good means of instigating, causing somebody else to do it. I wasn't guilty, was I? I wasn't the perpetrator of the crime, of the act. The instigator is someone in the shadows, and sometimes things can take place to where, no, I didn't do it. but I instigated it. I had a motive in mind for instigating it. There's a lot of things that can be discussed right here in this realm. Unworthy ends, prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. If nothing else, it's surely something for us to think about. It's for something for us to consider. But allow me to get just a little bit closer to home. When you or I do something good or do something nice for someone else, lay aside all malice or such things as a motive. Lay aside all the negative sides to motive. I'm talking about the good side of motive. Is it really true when we say that we don't want or we're not expecting anything at all in return? Is it really true when we say it that way? Do we really mean that I don't expect anything in return? Can we really mean it that way? That I expect nothing? For don't you and I, when we do something nice to somebody, expect something in return? You may say, well, I don't expect anything of equal value to be returned. I don't expect the response to be somebody doing something of equal value for me. You can say that and probably mean it from the very depths of your heart. Maybe you can even say truthfully and honestly that I don't expect any praise or any recognition for my good deed. But we probably expect a thank you. At the least, surely we can get a thank you. But what happens if we don't? We say we ask nothing in return. What happens when in payment of our good deed, rather than getting a thank you in return, we get a continual growing disrespect? I don't want anything in return. Well, if you're like me, you probably would like to be respected for what you've done. Maybe not public recognition, a big applause, even a tremendous thank you. But you'd probably like somewhere along the line for that person to like you. At least treat you nice. Do we really mean it then when we say I don't expect anything in return? We can struggle with it. We can battle it. Because there are times, there may be times in your life, but there are times in life when a person, for doing good things to somebody, are continually disrespected in person as well as property. Let's look at what Solomon had to say about it, Proverbs 25. I believe that he covers it very well. It's sort of repeated again in Romans chapter 12, but let's look at Proverbs 25 first. I hope you understood what I said that I'm preaching to me tonight. You're welcome to listen in. Proverbs 25 verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, if your enemy is thirsty, you know, we got to skip some parts that are difficult, rip it out and throw it away that we don't like. We can read this passage, we can read this verse and say yea and amen, but when it comes right down to it, it's not so easy to do. I've always thought that it was pretty easy. Let's continue. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. There's the reward. Whether that enemy ever becomes a friend, whether that enemy ever quits disrespecting you personally or your property, the writer here is telling us that we are to continue to do good to that person. How far does it go? How far does it go? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How far does it go? How far do we take that? Apparently, according to God's word, we take it all the way to the grave. Apparently, according to God's word, that it doesn't matter what comes our way, no matter what someone does, we must respond with Christ-likeness. But what if that person touches something that is very close or very dear to my heart, something that is very near to me, something that they cross the line? They cross the line somewhere, and rather than being easy to heap coals of fire, now it becomes hard to heap coals of fire. Then what? If thine enemy is hungry, if thine enemy is thirsty. Solomon doesn't clarify that line. He doesn't even give us a line. Paul doesn't clarify the line. Paul doesn't designate a line. He doesn't give us a line. Heaping coals of fire. What is our motive? What is our motive? Can we honestly say, I do it for nothing? I don't want anything in return? But what if what we get in return is something that we don't want in return? Can we still carry out and have a motive proper in doing so? You study up on it if you need to. Let's stand together tonight. Now you can see why I nearly threw it away. Maybe it was just for me. Trust the Lord will give you a good week this week. Many blessings come your way. Enrichment from God's hand. Let's be praying for each other, praying for the needs around us, for our country, elections, all that's involved. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Green, would you dismiss us in prayer?